Welcome to Hermophobia. I'm Alan.
I'm Johnny.
And I'm Mark.
Good day, gentlemen.
Hello.
Hello.
I imagine you two are breathing a huge sigh of relief now that the Canucks are in the World Series.
The World Series of hockey.
Finally. They're going up against the Expos.
Something like that, or the Blue Jays.
I hope they get a bunch of touchdowns. I am such a fan.
I know. And there's nothing pleases me more than seeing the flapping flags in the wind as the cars drive by.
They are so fucking distracting.
Do you know what they're charging? They're selling them down fucking Safeway. You know what they're charging for one of them fucking flags?
Like $13?
$20.
What?
Wow.
And there's people that got like fucking four of those goddamn things on their cars. I'm telling you, dude, me, a bottle of lighter fluid and my Bic, and I'm going to have me a good time in some parking lot. That's all I'm saying.
That wouldn't be the first good time to have in a parking lot.
Hey-o! With a bottle of lighter fluid.
I think we'll skip along to the next subject.
Well, so it's been like a month since we've done this.
About 3 weeks.
3 weeks. Yeah. I think we should. I know that we were going to go for every week. I don't see where every week is really realistic. And, you know, maybe not enough shit happens in a week for us to have to do this. But I'm thinking a month, every month should be our goal.
Yeah.
And if we do more, great. If not, but every month we should do this.
So it's a mensual podcast.
Oh.
Menstrual?
No, no.
I will be cramping out here a little bit, but
mensual.
Okay. Yeah.
It's ruled by the goddess Moon.
So have you guys got anything you guys wanted to talk about? Because I got a shit ton of stuff that...
No, I like commenting on your stuff because I have no life.
Okay, but this time, you know what? You can't do callbacks like way too late because
I do.
It really screws things up. What do you got for us there, John?
Well, I purchased a game yesterday called La Noir.
La Noir.
La Noir. or otherwise known, L.A. Noir, which is a new detective game and is inspiring me to talk like a 40s person.
Yeah, John, you are okay.
That's terrific. If you better watch your mouth or I'll give you an old 1-2 straight to the what for.
How do you like that, Ma?
Tonight's episode, three men at a table.
So you're feeling all James Cagney, are you?
Yeah, it's pretty good. The
I have been sitting there while watching you play for a little while, and the graphics are...
The facial capture. They captured with 32 HD cameras around an actor. And there are a lot of, not big name, but like C-list actors, I guess. Like,
well, good character actors.
Yeah, tons of character actors. It's got like the guy from Fringe, the old guys in that. It's got one of the two young executives from Mad Men's in it. And the girl from Mad Men, the one who like starts off the first episode and she's preggers or getting birth control pills or something.
Not Peggy.
Yeah, the one he's messing with, Don Draper. Yeah, Peggy. Yeah, that's right.
No, Peggy wasn't. No, Peggy. Peggy's the one that she's the ad exec that's rising up in the company. Are you talking about Joan, the secretary?
Yeah, she's one of the. She becomes Don Draper's secretary in the first episode.
Okay, that would be Joan, I think. Oh,
okay.
That would be Peggy. Oh, no, Peggy got pregnant. That's right, too, from that.
Yeah.
Right.
So,
It's got this really good facial capture technology.
She was in the West Wing. She was the president's daughter.
Oh, Zoe. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. I think she's in that. It's got, lots of people from Mad Men are in it, and the facial capture technology is really good. It's the first time in a game, and this is it's got so many little details because it basically is video of someone's face, but mapped into 3D form, so you can look around it as they're talking. And as one guy talks, he says a word being with F, and his cheeks inflate, as you would when you're saying, like, you know, you're full of shit or something. Your cheeks inflate a little, and it does. And it's so weird, these little details of just human nuance and human physiology that come through in the game because of this new facial capture technique they're using. It's really good looking.
So do you think, it sort of seems like the game systems are sort of at the end of their run, that the next gen is going to be coming soon, but do you think that now games are finally reaching their potential?
I think it's the start of a more cinematic, more actors in game movement. I don't know how far this can go, but it's definitely taking the Hollywood element of recognizable actors playing roles in games and really incorporating them into a 3D world.
Debbie Harry was in a game way back in the day.
Yeah, Double Switch.
Yeah. and also, it's good to have actual trained actors playing roles in these games because some of them... And in some of the other games that I've seen you play, oh God. Well, you just got like any guy off the street to play.
Some stuff like Enslaved was very good.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, yes. That was great.
That was very good. But this one, the human face is so important because you're basically, one of the big gameplay elements is detecting whether someone's lying or telling the truth. Mm-hmm. And you can do that just by looking at how they tell you something, whether they're looking you in the eye, whether they're looking shifty, whether they're like uncomfortable.
Facial tics.
Yeah. It's really interesting because that's sort of the basis of the gameplay.
It blows my mind how much games have changed. There's so much exposition in games now. I mean, I come into the kitchen and I hear you out in the living room, and 9 times out of 10, I think he's watching a movie and it's a game.
Mm-hmm. But I also prefer games like that. There's certainly plenty of games which aren't like that. That's more my wheelhouse and what I like.
But do you think that the sort of the nature of gaming has changed? I mean, like back in the day, the side scrollers, you fucking died, you died, you fucking started back at the beginning and you had to do everything over again.
There were games like
now,
this.
Now you die and you're resurrected and you carry on from where you were, right?
Yeah. That's a big change.
Do you think that... it doesn't seem like a game at that point. You know what I mean? Like, to me, anyhow, based on what I know as games.
Yeah.
That this is sort of, I don't know. I don't know.
Choose your own adventure?
Yeah. Do you think like Game Shark really kind of screwed things back in the day with all the cheats and stuff like that? So now games are making things so easy for you to progress through that you don't really need to worry about dying?
I think that some games, like more old arcade style games, which still they still make those, will still, you can still die in them, but
you only have like limited lives.
Part of it is from workshopping with people, playtesting, you know, having focus groups that say people don't want to die, they want to experience all of the game, and even.
But that goes back to the whole Game Shark thing when the Game Shark was introduced, because you know people wanted infinite lives and infinite ammo and unlimited powers and yada yada yada. But is it a game at that point then? Or are you just going through the motions? Like, that's where I kind of lose interest, because there's nothing, there is no jeopardy.
I would get bored really quickly when I used to do like God mode in Doom or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it seems like most of the games anymore, there is no jeopardy. There's no jeopardy in the games.
There's still, it's certainly easier. You don't get the kind of difficulty you got back in the 80s. But there are still very difficult games.
Well, yeah, because can you imagine playing some of these games, only getting like one life, and then like fucking up about say 40 or 50 hours into the game, and dying?
Well, also games used to be like have half hour content. If you didn't die, you'd finish it in half an hour, and now it's 30 hours, you know, or 15 hours. So it's a very different experience. It's kind of combining stuff from Pac-Man with movies. But there's regular games too. Like the games that you're talking about still exist and still are being made. But there's stuff that's kind of combining different elements from movies and books into its own thing. I really like games where you kind of can control the plot, that there's not just one outcome, that what you do can affect permanently whether something good or bad happened. And I think that's a really interesting, because now you keep playing, right? You don't die. So if you say, oh, let's blow up this mothership, and then there's repercussions of that 10 hours later.
Or even in the sequels.
Yeah. 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 Decisions you make now can affect later games in the series, which I think is really cool.
Like Mass Effect.
Yeah. Mass Effect is a big one for that, in Dragon Age.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not trying to shit on the games or anything like that. It's just that my experience with games is such that there's a hard beginning and a hard end. And if you end really hard, you got to start back at the beginning kind of thing. And it sort of seems like, I don't know, I just know that when I come out and I see that you're playing, and like I said, I can't tell if it's a movie or if you're playing a game and you're on the computer, and it's like, well, how participant are you in the game if you're on the laptop as well? Like, it just, it's kind of like me watching a movie.
Yeah, it is. I like games that do let me kind of multitask
and
enjoy the story. That's why I like to go out to the living room and watch John play. Because
I've seen how you watch John play.
That's only some of the games.
It's got to make the gaming really pleasant too. Is turning up the TV so you can hear it over the snoring. Yeah.
Well, I keep thinking about getting 5.1 surround headphones.
It would be a good plan.
Yeah,
that would be a very
good plan. But then, what would I listen to?
Well, I wouldn't listen to them when you're awake.
Okay, good.
But when he's sleeping or you're sleeping, and I kind of want to crank it up, then I think it might be good.
When I'm sleeping, you can't wake me up.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. But I do like a lot of the newer games that you're playing, like Fallout New Vegas.
This is called L.A. Noir?
Noir.
Noir. Very cool. So it's a big thumbs up from John.
So far, yeah. It's pretty great.
Very cool.
Me like you do.
My favorite game of the year so far, I think.
Speaking of games, you said you've already got the new, or you got your free games from the PlayStation Network.
Oh, I was going to ask you guys about that. Yeah.
Yeah. Now that it's back, I downloaded, or well, I put into my cart, so it's, you know, I can download them anytime. I got two PS3 games. I got Little Big Planet and Infamous, which Alan already owns, but I figured out. Well, you know,
I was going to get Little Big Planet, and
me too.
What's the there was one there. It's the same name as a TV show, and I was wondering if it's the same thing or not. The crazy Wipeout.
No. It's not like the same? A racing game.
Okay. I'll have to take a look at what they are, because the Little Big Planet I've heard is good, but the rest I'm kind of like, well, Infamous I already have on disc, but, and you know how far I can get on Infamous?
You can turn it on.
That's it. I cannot get past the opening scene on the ship where there's like fucking, I don't know, there's people firing and I'm like walking into a crate and it's like, yeah. I hate video games so much.
So I saw Thor in 3D today.
I was going to bring up movies. Great. What did you think of Thor?
It was okay.
It didn't leave you Thor at all?
What a waste of Kenneth Branagh.
Yeah. I've been saying that right from the get-go. Like, I mean, Kenneth Branagh can fucking grab hold of fucking Shakespeare and whip it into something absolutely phenomenal. And even Dead Again, did you ever see that movie with him and Emma Thompson and Robin Williams?
Yeah.
Amazing film. I mean, he is a great fucking filmmaker, and it breaks my heart to see him doing, for lack of a better term, pulp films like this.
Well, commercial.
Pulp. Seriously. There's a certain homogeny to Marvel films. Every film looks like the last film. You can't differentiate the look between the Incredible Hulk and Iron Man or Iron Man 2. And they're made that way. I mean, Marvel is controlling is controlling all of this.
And they're in the same universe, although not the last Incredible Hulk, the new one that will be coming out.
Well, but they're all spearheading toward
an Avengers movie.
So, and that kind of, Kenneth Branagh is an amazing talent, and it really kind of breaks my heart to, and not that I'm thumbing my nose at the Marvel universe or anything like that. It's just that he doesn't belong in this film realm. Like
in a comic book movie?
He's, and I don't mean to sound like a snob, but he's above it. He's above it.
My main problem with the movie was it not much happened. I feel like there's diminishing returns with these Marvel films too. They're not getting better. Iron Man was pretty good, and since then it's kind of been a downward slope.
That's just it. Like they're just setting up story arcs for the Avengers movie.
Are they ever going to get there? I mean, think about the cast.
Thing. Well, and this is the thing too. X-Men First Class opened this weekend to lower than Thor's box office opening. So the returns are diminishing and diminishing and diminishing. By the time you get to the Avengers, is there going to still be an audience?
Well, they really didn't put much weight behind the X-Men First Class, I felt like.
Really? Yeah, I've been watching trailers for months now.
I've only seen a couple things as well. Like, not much, but then again, I haven't been looking out for it either.
I haven't been looking out for it, but there it is, like balls in my face, just
always there.
Always there!
But they're just hammering at you again and again and again.
Well, just slapping. But so Thor, not great, not bad.
I'd give it out of 5 a 2.
Yeah.
It was all right.
Watchable.
Yeah, watchable.
Mark and I went to Bridesmaids.
We did.
And what do you think of that?
Fucking fantastic. It was amazing. You know?
I'm just saying that. Fuck you. But yeah, it was like I've also watched The Hangover 2 since.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up as well.
But Bridesmaids blows Hangover 2 out of the water.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, the thing with Hangover 2 is if you've seen The Hangover, you've seen The Hangover 2.
I have seen The Hangover.
There's absolutely no surprises. I didn't even laugh the entire time I watched the movie.
Yeah, I had a couple of chuckles and some smiles. But not like the outright guffaws that we had.
Oh my God.
Bridesmaids.
I was peeing myself a little bit at fucking Bridesmaids. Like, if you liked
Melissa McCarthy,
if you like the 40-year-old virgin, you're going to love Bridesmaids. Like, it is that kind of movie. Like, I know everybody's comparing it right now to
Hangover.
To The Hangover.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No, there's fucking no comparison. This compares much better to the 40-Year-Old Virgin, where you have sort of these long sort of development things and then huge payoff. Long development, huge payoff. Whereas the Hangover films are pretty boom, 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 boom all the way through, kind of, you know, trying to be boom, boom, boom all the way through. Bridesmaids is it's fantastic. Kristen Wiig, like, I've always liked her, but I never really thought of her as a standout. She stands out in this film. Maya Rudolph is fantastic. Melissa McCarthy walks away with this
every
movie.
Scene.
Walks away with it. Like, it's just, it's her fucking movie.
What else has she been in?
Gilmore Girls. She's Suki Mike from the Gilmore Girls.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And she's, I mean, and the commercial, you can't go by the commercials. This is the crazy part of it, is because the commercials sell it as a Hangover type film. But, I mean, the Melissa McCarthy stuff in the film is absolutely outrageous. But there's a scene towards the end where it's like, it really forms her character, like you get who she is, kind of thing, in spite of all the puppies. But no, seriously, dude, you have to see Bridesmaids. Was it last summer or the summer before I was championing the first Hangover? Like, this is the comedy this summer.
Yeah, and I would gladly see it again. And supposedly it gets better the second time because you like pick up stuff that you've missed.
I will be buying the Blu-ray. Absolutely no ifs, ands, or buts about it.
Yeah. Excellent.
Excellent.
So for me personally, this was a big week because Blondie's new album has come out, kind of, sort of. They're releasing it in this weird way. Like, it's first coming out packaged with a magazine. So it's selling on newsstands, bookstores, all that kind of stuff. HMV and places like that are selling it in the UK, not in Canada, not in the US. It's a weird release. It's something new and it's different. But what do you guys think of that? Or do you think that the digital road is the hard and fast way to go?
I don't think it's going to be I don't think the digital way should be the only way. I like the fact that they're actually trying new ways to get the product out there, because not everybody owns an iPod and goes online to get all their music.
What's the price point for the magazine?
£14.99.
Ooh, that's $30.
Yeah.
Well, but then again, like, their
CDs are about £12. Yeah.
Yeah, like, their concept of money is about the same as ours.
They don't really understand money there. They look at it with
shut up. But no, like for them, like £5 be like almost like $5 for us.
Mm-hmm.
So like the same comparison.
See, for myself, I would have said the digital road is the way to go. But this came out on Tuesday. It's number 27 on the indie charts already.
That's good, right?
Blondie's
fucking indie. It's amazing. Yeah. Well, they ended up releasing the album themselves. After fucking putting me through torture for a year waiting for this album to come out, they finally release it on their own. And so, yeah, you know, it's charting at number 27 on the indie charts after, what, today's Sunday, Tuesday, 5 days?
Yeah, and you said that there were one or two songs that weren't on it?
Well, there's two bonus tracks on this fan pack that won't be on the actual CD when it's released on July 4th.
Mm.
Like, it's a crazy release, but it's fucking working. Like, it's crazy. Like, it's insane. And it's an amazing album. Like, it's not Parallel Lines, but it's a fucking good album. And there's one song on there. One, it was almost my earworm, called The End, The End. Probably the most romantic first-person song that the band usually does. Usually their stuff tends to be a little esoteric and very sort of removed and third-party. It's just Debbie Harry's writing style. But this is... I don't know. I love this album. I love Blondie.
Well, I can probably play a little clip of it right now, I'm sure.
There will be a little bit of that playing in the background right now.
Excellent.
June is Pride Month in the U.S.
Woo!
President Obama has declared June the month for gay, lesbian, transgender, bisexual, curious, fucking whatever the fuck. Whatever the whole list is, I don't recall. GBLT.
Yeah. Yeah. Gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgendered.
Now, I think is... Okay, what do you guys think? What do you guys think of this?
This is the first I've heard of it, so yay.
Is this like a Black History Month kind of deal?
Well, does it not seem somewhat disingenuous considering that homosexuals don't have the same rights as everybody else in the United States? They're not allowed to marry. The Don't Ask, Don't Tell that was repealed wasn't really repealed. Is this not probably the most hollow gesture that has ever been made to a minority?
Well, no, I think that, well, Black History Month being the shortest month of all of them is kind of up there,
but
too.
But at least you can't be fired for being black. You can be black and adopt a child. You can be black and get married even to a white person.
Don't even bring that sort of stuff up.
But you know what I'm saying? I mean, like, why? It just really seems very, very hollow that, you know, that you're going to celebrate the individuality of this community, yet you won't recognize their rights to be citizens the same as everybody else.
Well, the moral majority still has quite a strong voice right now, and I think you just need to take small steps, and this is a small step in the right direction.
A very, very small step.
It seems like posturing. It really does. I mean, it really comes off to me as bullshit.
Courting the gay vote without actually
exactly
acting much.
Exactly. This is just it. I mean, everybody's throwing their hat into the election ring right now. You know, it's all about looking as good as you possibly can going into the 2012 run. You know, so he's going to have two of these fucking gay pride months under his belt going into the next election, and it makes it look as though there's something progressing, even though nothing is.
Well, is he going to do anything for it? Does he have any plans? Is he going to go to, like, visit the scene of the Stonewall Riots or Castro Street or talk about Harvey Milk? Is he going to do anything?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, like I said, it just seems like a very, very hollow gesture. Maybe I'm cynical, but the gesture seems a little cynical as well.
Well, but then again, if he wouldn't have done anything, you wouldn't have anything. It would be a non-issue.
I think that there's a lot of issues around this that need to be addressed, and by saying, you know, we recognize you.
Mm. Kind of.
Exactly. Well, we recognize you, except, you know, if an employer decides that you're a little too swishy, you can be fired. If a landlord decides that he doesn't want any fags living in his building, you can be evicted. If you want to adopt children, well, you can't do that because, you know, you're a fairy. If you want to get married, well, you can't do that because you don't have the same rights as everybody else. But hey, it's your month.
Right on.
Woo!
It just pisses me off. And maybe let's continue on to the whole... I think the Schwarzenegger thing was sort of breaking the last time we talked.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out that he was nailing the maid.
The troll doll?
They've got... Well, I like to think of her as an Irish spring bar.
Okay.
Manly, yes, but Arnold liked her too.
Mm-hmm.
So it turned out the kid was more than 10. He was 14.
Yeah.
When all of these... I know Reznor. When all of these accusations were being leveled against Schwarzenegger and his being a little bit too touchy-feely with the females in his office and stuff like that, Shriver was asked to come out and say, you know, oh no, he's a good guy. He's not like that. Huh. And everything. It just, oh my God. So all of his films, everything that Schwarzenegger has got his fingers in have been suspended right now. There's no films. There's no nothing. Everything has been put on pause.
Really?
Allegedly from him so that he can focus his attention on, you know.
His families.
Yes, exactly.
Did you hear about how he seduced her?
The maid?
Yeah, he basically got a pack of Reese's Pieces and then made a little trail to his bedroom and she started eating them.
Are you saying that she has a certain alien quality to her?
Maybe.
Not an attractive woman. I mean, come on.
I have not seen pictures.
It's Arnold fucking Schwarzenegger. This guy, I mean, you know, he
was a physique movie alone, god.
He's considered to be a fucking god.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, let's face it. This guy could lay pipe pretty much any place he fucking wants.
Well, and so he likes the jolie laid, the idea of the ugly pretty.
He must have really liked it.
Look at Hugh Grant when he picked up that whore.
Yeah.
Not the prettiest woman.
And he was banging Elizabeth Hurley.
Yeah.
Well, you know, maybe he likes ugly women.
Eddie Murphy?
But he didn't bang her. He just gave her a ride. Come on.
Yeah. Right.
And Eddie Murphy was just asking for the time.
It could happen.
Yeah. Well, I picked up a hooker accidentally once.
I'm sure you did.
No, really. Didn't I tell that story last time?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay. Well, let me tell you a quick story. And if I had been a famous person, someone could have gotten incriminating pictures from this. There was what looked like a young woman hitchhiking in Colorado when I just moved to Colorado and I had my Firebird. And I picked her up and she wasn't young. She just was dressed like a 20-year-old. It was like 40. Looked like Jerry Blank from Strangers with Candy.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
And I was like, oh, sure. So where do you need to go? She's like, you like to party? No. Oh, God, no. Oh,
it.
No.
I love it. That's the crazy thing about hookers, though. When I used to work over on in Burnaby, you know where the 7-Eleven is down off 10th? There's a stroll right along, what is it, Canada, yeah. Not Canada Way, 10th?
Oh,
Kingsway.
Kingsway, yeah.
So there's a little stroll down there. And there is this one, like, I used to drive by and I used to think,
was it the blonde one with the,
yes!
with the huge tits?
Yes! I used to think, good God, she's gotta be fucking busy, you know? Like, she's hot! Like, what the hell is she doing fucking turning tricks out here? I went into the 7-Eleven one night and she was in there. One big giant bruise. Fucking track marks all over.
It was just like, oh no.
Oh my God. Other than a needle, unless you're sticking it in her, you've got no chance in hell. Like,
because that's funny because I used to drive that way home.
I'm sure you picked her up a time or two.
No.
Gave her a ride, as it were.
Stuck my own needle into her. Yeah. I used to think that like she was fairly attractive as well, at least on a quick drive by.
Not close up. Not close up. Oh my God, the illusion is shattered.
So she is good from far and
oh
far
my God.
From good.
Oh my God. And then there was an Asian woman in a fucking rabbit fur jacket that used to work that stroll all the time too. And I used to think, cutish. Saw her in the 7-Eleven one night too. About fucking 66, fucking 67. Ooh. Oh yeah. Grandma. Grandma was bearing the rabbit fur, let me tell you. Oh.
That wasn't rabbit fur.
R-A-B-I-D.
Oh, rabbit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Adventures on Kingsway. Needless to say, I didn't fucking employ any of them, but.
Yeah. None of us have actually picked one up, John.
I used to pick up hitchhikers.
Why? Just to keep life interesting?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, I wonder if this one's going to stab me.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Will I survive this?
We used to do that back east. It was kind of a thing we did.
Oh, that's amusing.
I was 20 or 22.
Alrighty. Let's talk a little tech here.
Alrighty. I have a computer.
I have a laptop.
Okay, here's the big headline. Boy regrets selling his kidney to buy iPad.
I read that.
Have you heard about the story?
No.
This kid fucking sold his kidney to get an iPad.
Did he not hear about the reduced life expectancy if you get rid of one kidney?
17-year-old student in Anhui province sold one of his kidneys for 20,000 yuan only to buy an iPad 2.
And who told him that was a good idea?
Well, now with his health getting worse, The boy is feeling regret, but it's not too late, the Global Times reports today. I wanted to buy an iPad 2, but couldn't afford it, said the boy, surnamed Zeng in the Russian city. I'm butchering all of this, I know, but a broker contacted me on the internet and said he could help me sell one kidney for 20,000 yen.
Yeah, which is completely about, underselling it.
Well, it's about $3,500 or $3,200 in American funds, which makes it, what, 33, 35 in Canadian? Yeah, Canada.
No, actually, our dollar...
did we slip?
Yeah, it's about par again.
No.
But what does this say about us as a society, where we have put so much weight and so much importance on these status symbols? I mean, that's all the iPad 2 really. I mean, it's a gadget. It's not going to change anybody's life, really.
Well, do you think our society is that close to like pseudo-communist Chinese society?
No, but I'm saying that their emulation of our culture is probably what led this kid to think that he could not live without an iPad 2.
He might also have mental problems or something.
He may.
Well, however, yeah, he is an Apple fanboy, so yeah.
Oh, harsh burn.
Boom. But, however, next headline, it's official. Apple fanboyism is a religion. Neuroscientists find both trigger the same reaction in brain.
Oh, wow. Well, I kind of knew that one.
The cult of Apple is real, according to neuroscientists. They compared MRIs of Apple fans' brains to those of people who call themselves very religious and found that the Apple and religion lights up the same part of the brain. This means that the Apple triggers the same feelings and reactions in people as religion.
So does this mean that Steve Jobs could
file for
tax in breaks because he's now a church?
I don't think so.
Probably not.
No. Oh. But you can't say that these two articles are not fucking related.
Fanatics.
But I mean, we see it definitely in our kind of everyday encounters with people. I mean, come on, let's face it. The Apple fanboy is righteous to the nth degree. Like, you know, he...
And even given evidence to the contrary, will still stick to his guns.
Yeah.
I'm kind of dating one.
I know. I kind of thought this might be a little sensitive subject for you, but...
Not that he's listening, but, you know.
But these things, I mean, come on, seriously, these two things are very related. Mm-hmm. If you're willing to start selling off fucking
body parts
in order to have something that, come on, an iPad, they haven't been out for a year and we're already in the second revolution of it.
Yeah.
It's transient to the nth degree, and you're going to start fucking sell body parts for it? What are you going to pay for it with next year?
Oh, the iPad 3 just came out. Oh, it has 6 cameras. Oh, it has built-in 3D screens. Oh.
I don't need this arm.
Now, where my fanboyism kind of falls to is Windows 8 was debuted a little bit this week, or was previewed this week.
Yes.
Did you check any of that out, John?
You showed me that video. No. It was
your quite phone. Quite
pretty.
Yeah.
Is pretty much the blueprint.
Oh, really?
It is beautiful. It is beautiful. And when you think about, what did you think of it? I mean, it was tiles based, much like the iPhone, Windows Phone 7.
Yeah.
Full screen apps, but also snappable and resizable.
Yeah. The way the guy was, moving around it felt nice. It looked natural almost.
Now this is going to be for the pad and the laptop desktop experience.
Yeah.
So you can use both touch and mouse. Keyboard. Now, Kinect.
Really? Ooh.
Apple's been saying this all along, is that they've been talking about employing Apple? Kinect into. I'm sorry, Microsoft has been talking about employing Kinect into the Windows environment. So if they start bringing that in, we're talking fucking Minority Report here.
How accurate is the are the Kinect cameras?
Very, very accurate.
So could they sense where your fingers were, say, no, on a virtual typewriter?
Not yet.
But they could tell you where you're going to fucking snap that screen off. and you can fucking touch around your web page and click through that way. Like, I think that the Kinect implications with this on top of the touchscreen is huge. Moving away from.
What movie was that? Keanu Reeves.
Johnny Mnemonic?
Johnny Mnemonic, yeah, where he put the glasses on and the little gloves. And yeah, was. But that was Johnny Mnemonic, right?
I haven't seen that. Talking since Dolphin? I was a kid.
Yeah, but then, yeah, just again, Minority Reports again. That is. Cool. I love living in. Today.
Well, but the thing is, it's going to be so much cooler in 20 years. I mean, we're seeing everything evolve now, but by the same token, I mean, you're going to start seeing a real dumbing down of operating systems too. And for anybody who likes to get under the hood a little bit, this is going to sort of be
they've still got a Linux. Barrier. They've still got Linux.
Have you tried playing with Linux?
No, I'm not smart enough.
Neither am I. I've tried it a little bit and. I only spent a day at it, but
I couldn't get the fucking Wi-Fi working on Linux. Okay. Like it was pathetic. It was like, this is shameful. And I'm really, really embarrassed. And where's my Windows 7? Like
I desperately need to make a Linux box and just play around with it just to learn it at least.
You definitely need to for your job. Sick burn.
Ouch. Kick me when I'm down, man.
A little quasi-celebrity news for you boys.
Right on.
All right.
Joseph Brooks, who wrote the 1970s hit song You Light Up My Life, was found dead Sunday afternoon. This was back on the 4th of May. 24th of May, my bad. Of an apparent suicide. New York NYPD Deputy Commissioner Pat Brown told CNN he was 73. Do you guys recall the song You Light Up My Life?
Yeah.
No.
It was a big hit for Debbie Boone. There was a movie based on it.
Oh, that one, yeah.
Yeah.
Suicide at 73?
Yeah.
Well, that's the time to do it.
Brooks was waiting trial on 2009 charges of allegedly raping 11 young actresses, according to the New York Daily News. He was charged with 82 counts of sexual abuse. He was putting up casting calls for actresses to come in, and he was giving them Rohypnol and getting all handsy and PC. Wow. And yeah.
Wow.
Like, is there a more saccharine song than You Light Up My Life? Even the movie was just fucking drippy gooey with fucking sugar, and then you find out that the guy behind it is a serial fucking rapist in his 80s. 70s.
That is crazy.
Yeah.
It's like, huh? Okay, I've retired now. What? I wonder what I should do. I've always wanted to be a rapist.
Well, it probably didn't start then.
Oh no!
Like, we live in a very, very, very messed up world. It's all.
Where does an old man get roofies?
There's that too, right? Right? Like, it's just this story is fucked up on so many levels. It's so creepy. It's so creepy.
Something I've been seeing more in the States is what you might consider a small abuse of the service animal rule. You know, you can't have pets anywhere, you know, in most public area or locations like shops and stuff, unless they're service animals. And now a lot
like
of people.
Like a seeing eye dog.
Yeah, exactly. But now people are getting animals that they need or always around them for psychological reasons. So this guy, I was just at a big bear thing last week, and this guy had an animal with him everywhere because it was a service animal, a small little poodle, which I didn't ask him, but I've seen it before where people need it for psychological reasons. And it's whatever. It's not a big deal, but it's kind of – you can see that yeah, right, you need a dog for psychological
reasons. Is this like the medical marijuana prescription for anxiety?
Yes.
is this poodle specially trained, or is it just like a random poodle from the pound?
I don't know what I think that there's fairly lenient requirements of an animal for to have around for psychological reasons.
See, that's the sense. Like if it isn't trained and certified, then it shouldn't be a service animal. Like and be allowed to go into shops and shit like that.
It's just such bullshit. It's like, what the fuck? I mean, like, I get it. Like, I mean, there's a lot of things I don't do and there's a lot of places I don't go because I have a dog.
Yeah.
I am certainly not going to find some fucking loophole provision kind of thing where I can take my dog everywhere I fucking go so that I can have a life. I made a choice. I got a dog.
Yeah.
Like, you make choices and you have to live with the choices that you make. It's absurd.
I'm going to get myself a seeing eye capuchin.
Oh, nice.
A little monkey.
But you're not blind.
I know, but I wear glasses. What if I lose my glasses sometime when I'm out? I'll need that monkey with me all the time.
That's true.
Okay, John, so you're an international singing sensation. You've sold millions and millions and millions of records, broke records in all facets of the recording industry, yada, yada, yada.
Can I have your autograph?
No, please.
You're married to...
I'm just here having fun. Let's just treat me normally and respect my privacy, please.
You're married to a producer.
Yeah, yeah.
Who has an affair with your best friend.
Well, I'm kind
of... You can no
that.
Longer sing because of the
emotional
anxiety
stress.
That this has caused you.
Okay.
So you've decided to make a show for the Oprah Network where you're going to go traveling all over Hell's Half Acre looking for all kinds of ching ching clay pots, ways of curing this this inability to sing and restore your faith in, I guess, humanity, relationships. You're also about to get married to the husband of the wife of the man or of the woman who cheated on with your husband. So you're basically doing a partner swap.
Is this sort of like a Rennie Harlan thing?
No, it would be a Shania Twain thing. This is my new obsession on the fucking OWN network. Is the Shania Twain thing where she's mm-hmm. claiming that she's unable to perform in front of audiences because of the anxiety that her relationship has caused her. And she's now on the Oprah network so that everybody else can heal through her healing. In
bullshit. Ugh. Sorry, I had something caught in my throat there.
It at once fascinates and sickens me at the same time. I'm addicted. I have to admit the show's called Why Not with Shania Twain.
That's exactly a great right? title.
And it's like she's using this guise of helping others. By filming her journey on healing herself. Big bag of bullshit. And it makes her look pathetic. I mean, my God, you've sold millions of fucking records. You've made mega millions of fucking dollars. Your pockets are fucking lined from this short burst of success
you
that you had over three albums.
Yeah, and kind of changed the country music industry.
Yeah. And... Yeah. A divorce has fucked you up so bad that you're so far off the rails that you can't get, like, really?
Well, who's to say? I mean, maybe it has.
Okay. Oh, I really want to get into depth on this. Neither of you guys have seen any of it.
Well,
you probably
no,
don't have any.
I've actually heard a lot of them because I hear them.
The thing is, when they met, she had put out her first album, which was a piece of crap.
Yeah.
And he did the, you know, I'm a fucking big shot. Ooh, she's hot. I want to meet her. And he did that, and they collaborated, and then they put out the first album she did with Any Man of Mine,
and whose
bed have your boots been under, your
boots
version
Boots been
being,
how you boots been?
That would be the one, yes. They did that one, and then they did the Come On Over album, and I mean, it just got exponentially bigger and bigger and bigger. But they didn't spend a lot of time together, because she was on the road and recording all the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they managed to shit a kid out together.
Yeah.
But... they didn't spend a lot of time together. How devastated can you be from this breakup? And this is what makes my head explode, is that she doesn't blame him. She blames the other woman.
Well, it was her fault.
Ah!
I thought you were talking about like Celine Dion and Renee Angelou.
No, it's Shania, and it just... Oh, I get so fucking frustrated watching the show.
I remember one of the first few episodes you were watching, you came to the office after you were watching, and I heard you listening to her going through, I guess, some sort of marriage counseling or something with her new husband-to-be.
Well, no, she's been seeing different shrinks and it's just, it's been like.
But yeah, would you marry somebody who was still so hung up on their.
Yeah.
On their first.
If you were with somebody who was so hung up on their fucking ex that they can't even do their job anymore. Does that sound like marriage material to you?
No.
No.
Well, she is rich though. And is she still hot?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
She's 45.
Why not?
That part blows me away too. I mean, at 45, if you haven't got your shit to fucking gather enough to move forward with your fucking life, mm-hmm. regardless of, and I mean, she lost her parents in a car accident. She had to raise her siblings on her own. Like, I mean, she's had a very hard road to hoe. Like she has. I mean, there's no getting around it. But if you've lived through all that, breakup.
And this was the straw that broke the camel's back?
This is what fucking devastates you. This is what destroys your life.
I it's hard to say.
It's easy to say. She's full of shit.
Oh, okay. What's her angle then?
I really don't know. I think probably as much as anything else is that because the relationship she had with her husband was such a partnership in the studio that maybe she isn't able to make the same quality of output that she did when she was with him.
Because she relied too much on his producing?
Probably. And co-writing. They wrote everything together. They produced everything. You know what I mean? I mean, it was a very genuine partnership in the studio. I know you don't give a shit, John, but it just, it fascinates and provokes me, and it just,
But yeah, Mutt Lange, he did produce a lot of really good Canadian talent. Like
Canadian? He did like Def Leppard.
No, he's also, was it Bryan Adams?
I don't think so. I don't know. Jim Vallance did Bryan Adams.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm. I don't know what I'm talking about then.
Yeah, no, apparently you don't. All right. You guys got anything else that you guys wanted to talk about?
No.
Okay. That brings us to the Art Earworms of the Week. Why don't you kick things off there, Mr. Mark?
No, I cannot because I have to wait for after yours.
No, I don't want to hear it.
Okay, fine. I started off in the last week or so listening to the new Death Cab for Cutie album.
You're such a lesbian.
I know. Shut up. And a couple of songs have been sticking with me. But of course, all that was blown out of my head by you playing Robin songs over and over again.
Robin's my earworm, dude.
I know. And I'm not gonna choose the one that you are definitely gonna choose. I'm gonna go with You Should Know Better. I've gone around the world in the seven seas. I'm cashing six figure checks in all currencies. It's like when I be tearing it up. Motherfuckers parlay on the MIC. It's all ooh la la and I wee. We busy sipping Van Blanc in our lingerie. Chopping heads off with Madame Guillotine. Even the French know better than to fuck with me. Como telly her
Snoop Dogg duet.
I love the way that one sounds. It is so awesome.
I'm a big Konnichiwa Bitches fan. That's my favorite Robin song. Konnichiwa Bitches. It's a great song.
Her new album, like, I mean, going back to the whole Blondie thing, you know, new ways of releasing and stuff like that. She released this new album in three parts.
Yeah.
Like, it's an unbelievable release how she did this. I mean, she just sort of segmented out the album a little parcel at a time. She's very much in control of what's happening in terms of this release. It's interesting to listen to the music because, I mean, as a whole, the album is a little disjointed. Not a great album by any means, but it's got some really remarkable...
catchy songs.
Really, really good stuff.
Yeah.
It reminds me a lot of in the early aughts when Dead or Alive and Missing Persons and Berlin and 6-6 Sputnik and all these guys were going to like Cleopatra Records. They've been abandoned by their record labels and were, you know, kind of doing what they thought their audience wanted from them, but not really doing what was kind of true to them. And it was their albums were kind of a little bit wishy-washy and mixed up. But I think that the Robin, what she's done, while it reminds me of that stuff, she's really kind of taken control of the whole process and she's identified her audience. I mean, you know, any 90s diva that's going to have any kind of success, it's going to all be about the fags. So yeah. she's gone right for the dance music. It's very low production. Like this album would be very cheap to knock out. Because mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think there's any guitars on it at all. It's all sequencing. It's all loops. It's synthesizer keyboards. But it's excellent. Like, but it's so much fun. My earwig is Call Your Girlfriend.
Earworm.
Oh my god. Yes. Call Your Girlfriend.
Yeah, it is a very catchy song.
It's so cool. I mean, a lot of the stuff that she's putting out on this album is from sort of an outsider perspective. Dancing on My Own, you know, where she's in the club trying to get somebody's attention, doesn't get any attention. Call Your Girlfriend, you know, she's the other woman, but it's a very compassionate song. Mm-hmm. Like, it's very interesting, sort of the perspective that she's taking in this music. And sort of the depth and the message in this music, it doesn't feel like dance music. Like
it's almost a storyteller kind of.
It is, but, you know, and it's very risky, but it works. And I'm very happy for her. I love that she's got all of this newfound success, because I loved her back in the day. Like, I loved her back in the 90s when, you know, Show Me Love and that stuff. But this new stuff, I think she's found her voice in the same mm-hmm. way somebody like sort of Cyndi Lauper has, and or I don't know, somebody that was sort of, you know, sort of thrust into the limelight, product of the labels and stuff like that, that sort of finds themselves after the fact and is,
I think, Bjork to some degree.
Yeah Cool. What's your earworm of the week, sir?
Well, I'd like to say it's Route Nationale 7 by...
That's a fun song. Holy smokes.
By Honeymoon... Well, the version... It's originally an old French standard, I think, but it's the version by Honeymoon Killers, which I heard this week, and I love it. It's just fantastic. But honestly, the song that's been in my head pretty much all of last week was You Are Meant For Me by Jewel. I hear the clock. Feel so far from where I've been. I got my eggs, I got my pancakes too. I got my maple syrup, everything but you. I break the yolks and make a smiley face. I kinda like it in my brand new place. Wipe the spots off of the mirror, don't leave my keys in the door. I never put wet towels on the floor anymore, cause trains last so long, even after you're gone. I know that you love me, and so you will see. You're meant for me, and I was meant for you. I don't know why.
Oh, I know what song you're talking about, yeah. I thought you were going to say Dream Police by Cheap Trick there for a second.
Got my eggs, got my pancakes.
I like her. She's another one too that, you know.
Everything but you.
She's another one that she, you know, she did her thing, and, you know, it only got her so far, and she sort of seemed to cave to the label expectation. She did that kind of dancey, poppy album. And now mm-hmm. she's sort of gone right back to the really folksy roots, what was that album that she put out right around the time when she did her appearance on Dance or Men in Trees?
I don't remember the album, but yeah.
I love that album. It was a great album. That was the one with Stevensville, Texas, and the big single. I can't remember what that was called.
But the live version she did on Men in Trees was so much better than the actual produced version.
Yeah.
She had like a string backup. It was way overproduced. Just her with her guitar was way better. Yeah. Much, mm-hmm. much, much better.
Yeah. I love that John loved Men in Trees. You still haven't watched that show,
have you? I haven't watched minute one of it.
I've worked on Men in Trees. That's why.
It was such a great show. It should not have been canceled.
That's what I've heard about you.
Oh. Oh. A snap. Well, since we're on John, why don't you carry on with your Netflix pick of the week, and let's hope you watched it this time.
All right. I'm going to go with Talk to Her, Hable con Ella, which is a...
Oh, Almodóvar.
Almodóvar. Yeah. Pedro Almodóvar movie starring, I believe it has that girl, Penelope Cruz. I think so.
Maybe not.
Oh, I think she's in that. Oh, no. It's one of those ones with people in it, but it's a really good one about... I've seen it.
Imagine that, a movie with people in it.
No, she's not in it. Okay, it's got Javier Camara, Dario Graninetti, Lenore Watling, and Rosario Flores. And it's about this woman who is in a coma. Well, it's about two people in a coma and the relationships that the nurse and the man whose girlfriend is in a coma have. And it's very, very surreal at moments and excellent. I haven't seen an Almodóvar movie I haven't liked. And this is definitely a really good one.
What's your favorite Almodóvar?
Either Women on the Verge of a Nervous Breakdown or All About Your Mother.
What about Tie Me Up, Tie Me Down?
I haven't seen that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Have you seen the previews for his new one with Antonio Banderas?
Oh, it has Antonio Banderas.
Antonio Banderas?
Hello. My wife, Meg Ryan. Melanie Griffith, whatever.
Yeah. No, I'm really excited about the new one. I still haven't seen Talk to Her. I love Almodóvar stuff, but he went through a period where it was sort of like, oh, look at me, how important I am. I have the world's attention. And Something About My Mother, or what is it called?
All About My Mother.
All About My Mother kind of falls into that camp. It was sort of those ones where it was sort of the self-important ones. And I really want to see it, but I'm not eager to see it. I would rather watch...
It's not as small as some of his better films.
Yeah. Like, I would rather watch Law of Desire, Women on the Verge of a Nervous Breakdown, Tie Me Up, Tie Me Down, Matador, any of those films again before...
I would see Volvere. That one was very, very, very good.
I have it on DVD as well, and I still haven't watched that one.
That was interesting. I kind of liked that one. It didn't go exactly where I thought it was going to.
Yeah, which is interesting.
Yeah,
what was the one that he did... Was it right after Volvere or right before?
Maleducation, Bad Education.
Yes, I love that one.
That was okay. That was not one of my favorites.
Yeah, I like when he's being funny.
Yeah. Well, he's usually... I don't think he's made him... Even All About My Mother has funny moments. Yeah. Talk to Her has very funny moments.
But Women on the Verge of a Nervous Breakdown is like fucking...
That's a comedy.
Manic.
Yeah, that's, like, that's crazy a manic fun. Comedy.
Yeah. I love that movie. Love that movie.
And just before we move along, what else did you do with Netflix, John?
I got my own account.
Aha.
I did, because I'm tired of using Mark's account and getting all these weird shows that I have no interest in. So
you mean like all those Christian children's cartoons?
And now I'm looking at the top 10. Yeah, Mark loves VeggieTales. I'm looking at my top 10 recommendations for me. Let's see. It's saying, because I went and rated like 120 movies and then said my favorite categories, 500 Days of Summer.
Really? Have you seen it?
It was.
Really?
It's a beautiful little movie. I really enjoyed it.
Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas. Oh, come on, guys.
No, I'm sorry, but I
Netflix never... recommendations suck.
All About Eve. Yeah, I like that one. Some Doctor Who. Sure. I don't know what Sanjuro is. Oh, it's Akira Kurosawa's sequel to Yojimbo. Ooh.
Really?
Yeah, apparently. Oh, Memento. No, guys, I didn't really like that.
I have not.
Really?
I still have not seen Memento.
It's okay. It's okay.
I enjoyed Memento a lot.
Yeah. It seems to think I have this thing for Joseph Gordon-Levitt, because it's also telling me to watch Mysterious Skin.
I have a thing for Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Have you seen Mysterious Skin?
No.
It's a great movie. That's a Greg Araki film. I love Araki films.
Really?
Have you ever seen Doomsday Generation?
No.
Loved it. Have you seen Totally Fucked Up?
No.
Loved it. Have you seen The Living End?
No.
Loved it. Have you seen Nowhere?
No.
Loved it.
I agree with Alan. Joseph Gordon-Levitt is – he's a super fantastic.
And I would break that boy in half, let me tell you.
Well, I don't know. What about him as Cobra Commander?
Pardon me?
Him as Cobra Commander.
No, because the whole pretty is hidden.
That's true.
I want to watch his new
one. I feel a little dirty after watching Third Rock from the Sun for a little while, because it's kind of like, oh, no, not now. Not now.
Oh, that's not like, now. That was like me and, the second in command.
E.T.? Drew Barrymore?
No. No. Oh, shut up. Oh, don't be so gross. She was far too old.
Oh, no.
Oh, fuck. I just lost my train of thought. Yeah, Joseph Gordon-Levitt's new movie that he's got out there with...
Hesher?
Hesher. I want to see God. That.
I just the stills that are making me want to see that.
The trailer for it is amazing, yeah. And the actor who's in it, who's from The Office,
Krasinski.
Yeah, who's like normally he's like pretty funny. He looks really.
Krasinski doesn't really play ha funny.
Well, no,
very kind of winking, kind of funny.
But he was unrecognizable in the trailer until like. Almost the end.
Was that Rainn Wilson? Who's in Hesher?
Rainn Wilson, yes.
Hello.
Yipes.
Okay, so that was your Netflix. What's your Netflix?
I actually have two because I'm going with a director. I'm going with Ang Lee.
So please tell me that one of them is taking Woodstock and the other is The Ice Storm.
The Hulk?
Otherwise, it would be incorrect.
Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
Incorrect.
Beautiful movie. I loved it a lot.
I haven't seen it, but you know me. It's
just, I know. It is not your genre at all, but it is majestic. It's the only way I can say it. Like, it is beautiful. It's well done, well acted by everybody. It is shut your holes. Okay, fine. And The Ice Storm from 1997.
The Ice Storm is a perfect. Have you ever seen The Ice Storm, John?
No.
I didn't either, and I had that same kind of look on my face, and Alan convinced me to watch it. It was beautiful. I think I was crying at the end too. It's just such a, and it was such a snapshot of
the time
of the 70s.
Yeah. It is an amazing piece of film. I mean, Elijah Wood, I don't have a lot of faith in as an actor. Mm-hmm. Brilliant in it. Hmm. Christina Ricci, who can be so uneven.
Yeah,
brilliant in
definitely.
It.
Definitely.
Kevin Kline, brilliant. Joan Allen, brilliant. Sigourney Weaver, brilliant. Yeah. What's his name from fucking Whispers? Oh, he's a piece of shit actor.
Kennedy?
No.
Presley?
No. You know what? And I'm actually probably thinking of the wrong person.
Lee
too.
Curtis?
No, but everybody in this film is, they excel. Like, I don't know what kind of fucking voodoo Ang Lee performed on the fucking cast, but they, Tobey Maguire.
Yeah. Jamie Sheridan.
Yes.
But just the attention to detail in everything. It was like I was reliving.
Was it the detail or was it the, I don't know. Like, I feel like a little kid every time I watch The Ice Storm, and I feel like I'm watching my parents. I feel like I'm watching their peer group. He just nails something that is so intrinsic in the culture at that time that, I mean, they could have been wearing fucking Judy Jetson suits and it would have still felt authentic. Like, it just, The Ice Storm is probably one of the greatest films of the last 20 years. Easily.
Not according to the critics. The critics like Crouching Tiger a lot better.
Yeah, because, you know, you want those crazy acrobatic fucking in-flight fucking kick fucking whatever.
That's only about 10 minutes of the movie. The other hour and 45 minutes is like dialogue.
Well, I know,
and
because of your deep Chinese heritage that you really related to the film on a level that would probably never be the same as a North American looking at a film that looks back at the 70s in North America.
Ancient Chinese secret, huh?
Calgon, take me away.
Okay there, fuck turd. What's yours then?
Okay. I was ready to fucking protest fucking Netflix because it's been about 3 weeks before they fucking put anything new out on fucking Netflix. Have you? Has anybody else noticed that?
Yeah, yeah. I've been like clicking the refresh button.
I was like, fuck you, Netflix. I'm going to tell people, save your $7.99 and fucking subscribe to HBO this month and watch Too Big to Fail. Watch Public Speaking. Watch the HBO programming that is new and original and unfucking Too Big to Fail. Seriously, guys, fucking beg, steal, borrow, whatever you have to do, watch this movie.
But,
it is amazing.
Don't we already subscribe to...
Shut your pie hole.
Why we have to beg and borrow?
Public Speaking, which is a documentary about Leibowitz, Fran Leibowitz, and directed by Martin Scorsese. Like it is an amazing documentary. I've watched it twice now. I am in love with this movie. HBO's got it fucking rocking this month. Mm-mm. But I went and checked my Netflix, and I decided on a movie that is about a place where nobody dares to go.
Your
love
bathroom?
That they came to know. They call it Xanadu, you fuckers.
Oh, right.
I knew Xanadu was on there.
Xanadu's on fucking Netflix.
It's been there for a while.
Was it?
Yeah.
Okay. Xanadu was... Xanadu was
out of
on...
Your mouth, man.
Xanadu was on my horror movie fucking recommendations. I don't know why.
Picture this. Five guys in orange jumpsuits.
On roller skates.
I love that movie.
I love Xanadu. I love, you know what? Okay, yes, it is my little gay heart that's just beating.
Well, you and Robbie have identical tastes in movies, and that's fine.
I love Xanadu. I don't know why. I know. I watch it, and I see that, yes, this is a piece of shit. Like, there is no... The story is ridiculous. And thread fucking bare. Like, you know, fucking Olivia Newton-John is like a fucking fembot walking through the goddamn thing. Michael Beck has got fucking no acting chops at all. Gene Kelly is such a relic of his fucking time. And yet it works for me.
Yeah, it's pretty entertaining.
It is thoroughly entertaining. I'm sorry. Roller skates, Olivia Newton-John, disco. What more could you ask for?
Electric Light Orchestra.
Hello.
No.
Hello.
No, ELO.
And Don Bluth. Don Bluth,
oh, yeah,
who does
the
animated
animation.
Sequence.
That's great.
Yeah.
Come on, I have loved Xanadu since the day it fucking flickered against a screen back in 1980. I've owned the soundtrack from fucking day one. It is perfection.
Yeah, your mom saw you come home from that gleaming and threw out any ideas of you producing grandkids.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. Mom, I just saw the most amazing movie.
I want a pair of roller skates. And I had a pair.
I want to be just like Olivia Newton-John.
No, I was smart enough to say Michael Beck.
Oh, right.
But in my heart, it was Olivia Newton-John. There's no defense for Xanadu. There is no defense for Xanadu, but I love it. There's something in it that just makes my heart happy in a way that it is indescribable. Yeah. It's wrong in so many ways.
I'll say I've watched it once here with you guys. We all watched it together once, didn't we? Or at least I watched with somebody. And I was entertained. I was entertained. But you are not alone. If you go on the internet, there are massive.
There's like a fucking cult of Xanadu out there. Like, oh, yeah. It's insane. However, I mean, let's face it, most of the members were 13-year-old girls when the film came out. I will cop to that. You know, the other half are, yeah, flaming homosexuals. I will cop to that. But it just, if something can give you that much happiness,
can it be
why?
Wrong?
Why throw shade on it?
That's true. You let your freak flag fly.
Fucking rights, man. Woo!
And yet you put me down for liking Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
Well, because there are no wires in Xanadu. The only wires was the trapeze wire. And that's a right wire, not a wrong wire. Anyhow, okay, I think we've ran way overboard, and yeah, I am fucking snapped at this point. This program is brought to you by Smirnoff.
And his mommy drinks.
Mommy. Yes, I enjoyed it immensely. And I've enjoyed the podcast. It was nice talking to you guys again.
The podcast?
Yes.
Yes.
I enjoy our times together. Getting to... It's hilarious that we occupy the same fucking space in this house and yet rarely sit down together and
just chat.
And just, yeah, shoot the shit.
That's why we get along, though.
Probably. Yeah. Probably. Everybody to their own corners. Okay. Yeah, it's that time of the month. Okay, yeah. Okay, yeah, we got the podcast out.
Okay, keep it together.
That's right. 1, 2, 3, and we're done. All right, and we are done. Seriously, if anybody has any comments that they'd like to send us, you can throw a comment on the page at hermaphobia.blogspot.com, or you can shoot us an email at hermaphobia@gmail.com.
Or call Alan directly at 770.
I don't have a 770. Do you have a 770?
I do.
Yes, I thought so. Anyhow, okay, never mind. That's just wrong, Mark. You're giving out TMI. But we're done. And it was awesome. Thank you, guys. I've had fun.
You are quite welcome.
Of course, most of it was by Smirnoff. And and John.
Yes.
If anybody follows John on Facebook and you saw that he uploaded this game show, watch it. It is so much fun. Your parents are so cute on that. People have to see this. It is. Did you watch it?
No, not yet.
You have to watch it. It is. They're so cute, and they're competing against this raging dyke couple, and the one says that she's getting married like to a man. Fucking don't believe it for a second. It's a lot of fun to watch. We're done.
Alrighty. Now that Alan has said that we're done for about the fourth or fifth time.
That's right.
I think we might actually be done.
We could be done.
Goodbye.
Till next time, everybody. Take care. I'm Alan.
Bye-bye. And I'm Mark. And I suppose you're John.
You're John.
I'm John. Bye. Star.